Chapter 49. Above heard all this out of window talk. Charlotte, though not looking out, had left her casement open, and what reached her ears set her wondering as to the result. It is not necessary to detail in full the Stancy's imperceptible advances with Paula during that northward journey so slowly performed, that it seemed as if she must perceive there was a special reason for delaying her return to England. At Cologne one day he conveniently overtook her when she was ascending the hotel staircase. Seeing him, she went to the window of the entresol landing, which commanded a view of the Rhine, meaning that he should pass by to his room. "I have been very uneasy," began the captain, drawing up to her side, "and I am obliged to trouble you sooner than I meant to do." Paula turned her eyes upon him with some curiosity as to what was coming of this respectful demeanor. "Indeed," she said. He then informed her that he had been overhauling himself since they last talked and had some reason to blame himself for bluntness and general want of euphemism, which, although he had meant nothing by it, must have been very disagreeable to her. But he had always aimed at sincerity, particularly as he had to deal with a lady who despised hypocrisy and was above flattery. However, he feared he might have carried his disregard for conventionality too far. But from that time he would promise that she should find an alteration by which he hoped he might return the friendship at least of a young lady he honored more than any other in the world. This retrograde movement was evidently unexpected by the honored young lady herself. After being so long accustomed to rebuke him for his persistence, there was novelty in finding him do the work for her. The guess might even have been hazarded that there was also disappointment. Still looking across the river at the bridge of boats which stretched to the opposite suburb of Dutz. "You need not blame yourself," she said. "With the mildest conceivable manner, I can make allowances. All I wish is that you should remain under no misapprehension." "I comprehend," he said thoughtfully. "But since, by a perverse fate, I have been thrown into your company, you could hardly expect me to feel and act otherwise." "Perhaps not. Since I have so much reason to be dissatisfied with myself," he added, "I cannot refrain from criticizing elsewhere to a slight extent, and thinking I have to do with an ungenerous person." "Why ungenerous?" "In this way, that since you cannot love me, you see no reason at all for trying to do so in the fact that I so deeply love you. Hence I say that you are rather to be distinguished by your wisdom than by your humanity." "It comes to this, that if your words are all seriously meant, it is much to be regretted we ever met," she murmured. "Now will you go on to where you were going, and leave me here?" Without a remonstrance he went on, saying with dejected whimsicality as he smiled back upon her, "You show a wisdom which for so young a lady is perfectly surprising." It was resolved to prolong the journey by a circuit through Holland and Belgium, but nothing changed in the attitudes of Paula and Captain de Stancy till one afternoon during their stay at The Hague, when they had gone for a drive down to Scheveningen by the long straight avenue of chestnuts and limes, under whose boughs tufts of wild parsley waved their flowers, except where the Bulletin Blitzen of retired merchants blazed forth with new paint of every hue. On mounting the dune which kept out the sea behind the village, a brisk breeze greeted their faces, and a fine sand blew up into their eyes. De Stancy screened Paula with his umbrella as they stood with their backs to the wind, looking down on the red roofs of the village within the sea wall, and pulling at the long grass which by some means found nourishment in the powdery soil of the dune. When they had discussed the scene, he continued, "It always seems to me that this place reflects the average mood of human life. I mean, if we strike the balance between our best moods and our worst, we shall find our average condition who stand at about the same pitch in emotional color as the sandy dunes of this gray scene dune landscape. Apostrophe apostrophe, Paula contended that he ought not to measure everybody by himself. I have no other standard, apostrophe said Distancy, and if my own is wrong, it is you who have made it so. Have you thought any more of what I said at Cologne? Apostrophe apostrophe, I don't quite remember what you did say at Cologne. Apostrophe apostrophe, my dearest life. Apostrophe apostrophe, Paula's eyes rounding somewhat, he corrected the exclamation. My dear Miss Power, I will, without reserve, tell it to you all over again. Apostrophe apostrophe, pray spare yourself the effort, apostrophe she said dryly. What has that one fatal step betrayed me into? Dot dot dot, do you seriously mean to say that I am the cause of your life being colored like this scene of grass and sand? If so, I have committed a very great fault. Apostrophe apostrophe, it can be nullified by a word. Apostrophe apostrophe, such a word. Apostrophe apostrophe, it is a very short one. Apostrophe apostrophe, there's a still shorter one more to the purpose. Frankly, I believe you suspect me to have some latent and unknown inclination for you, that you think speaking is the only point upon which I am backward. Dot dot dot, there now, it is raining, what shall we do? I thought this wind meant rain. Apostrophe, do? Stand on here, as we are standing now. Apostrophe, your sister and my aunt are gone under the wall. I think we will walk towards them. Apostrophe apostrophe, you had made me hope, apostrophe he continued, his thoughts apparently far away from the rain, and the wind and the possibility of shelter, that you might change your mind, and give to your original promise a liberal meaning in renewing it. In brief I mean this, that you would allow it to merge into an engagement. Don't think it presumptuous, apostrophe he went on, as he held the umbrella over her. I am sure any man would speak as I do. A distinct permission to be with you on probation, that was what you gave me at Karlsruhe. And flinging casuistry on one side, what does that mean? Apostrophe apostrophe, that I am artistically interested in your family history. Apostrophe apostrophe, and she went out from the umbrella to the shelter of the hotel, where she found her aunt and friend. Distancy could not but feel that his persistence had made some impression. It was hardly possible that a woman of independent nature would have tolerated his dangling at her side so long if his presence were wholly distasteful to her. That evening when driving back to The Hague by a devious route through the dense avenues of the Bosch, he conversed with her again. Also the next day, when standing by the Vijver looking at the swans, and in each case she seemed to have at least got over her objection to being seen talking to him, apart from the remainder of the traveling party. Scenes very similar to those at Scheveningen and on the Rhine were enacted at later stages of their desultory journey. Mr. Power had proposed to cross from Rotterdam, but a stiff northwesterly breeze prevailing, Paula herself became reluctant to hasten back to Stancy Castle. Turning abruptly they made for Brussels. It was here, while walking homeward from the park one morning, that her uncle for the first time alluded to the situation of affairs between herself and her admirer. The captain had gone up the Rue Royale with his sister and Mrs. Goodman, either to show them the house in which the ball took place on the eve of Quatre Bras, or some other site of interest, and the two Powers were thus left to themselves. To reach their hotel they passed into a little street sloping steeply down from the Rue Royale to the Place Sweet Gujul, where, at the moment of nearing the cathedral, a wedding party emerged from the porch, and crossed in front of uncle and niece. I hope, apostrophe said the former, in his passionless way, we shall see a performance of this sort between you and Captain Distancy, not so very long after our return to England. Apostrophe apostrophe, why? Apostrophe apostrophe, asked Paula, following the bride with her eyes. It is diplomatically, as I may say, such a highly correct thing, such an expedient thing, such an obvious thing to all eyes. apostrophe apostrophe, not altogether to mine, uncle, apostrophe she returned. 'Twould be a thousand pities to let slip such a neat offer of adjusting difficulties as accident makes you in this. You could marry more tin, that's true, but you don't want it, Paula. You want a name, and historic what do they call it? Now by coming to terms with the captain you'll be Lady Distancy in a few years. And a title which is useless to him, and a fortune and castle which are in some degree useless to you, will make a splendid whole useful to you both. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I've thought it over quite, apostrophe she answered. And I quite see what the advantages are. But how if I don't care one atom for artistic completeness and a splendid whole, and do care very much to do what my fancy inclines me to do? Apostrophe, apostrophe, then I should say that, taking a comprehensive view of human nature of all colors, your fancy is about the silliest fancy existing on this earthly ball. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Paula laughed indifferently, and her uncle felt that, persistent as was his nature, he was the wrong man to influence her by argument. Paula's blindness to the advantages of the match, if she were blind, was that of a woman who wouldn't see, and the best argument was silence. This was in some measure proved the next morning. When Paula made her appearance, Mrs. Goodman said, holding up an envelope, "Here's a letter from Mr. Somerset." Apostrophe, apostrophe, dear me, apostrophe, said she blandly, though a quick little flush ascended her cheek. I had nearly forgotten him. Apostrophe, the letter on being read contained a request as brief as it was unexpected. Having prepared all the drawings necessary for the rebuilding, Somerset begged leave to resign the superintendence of the work in two other hands. His letter caps your remarks very aptly, apostrophe, said Mrs. Goodman, with secret triumph. You are nearly forgetting him, and he is quite forgetting you. Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes, apostrophe, said Paula, affecting carelessness. Well, I must get somebody else, I suppose. Apostrophe, apostrophe, X, they next deviated to a means, intending to stay there only one night, but their schemes were deranged by the sudden illness of Charlotte. As he had been looking unwell for a fortnight past, though, with her usual self-abnegation, as he had made light of her ailment. Even now she declared she could go on, but this was said overnight, and in the morning it was abundantly evident that to move her was highly unadvisable. Still she was not in serious danger, and having called in a physician, who pronounced rest indispensable, they prepared to remain in the old Picard capital two or three additional days. Mr. Power thought he would take advantage of the halt to run up to Paris, leaving Distancy in charge of the ladies. In more ways than in the illness of Charlotte, this day was the harbinger of a crisis. It was a summer evening without a cloud. Charlotte had fallen asleep in her bed, and Paula, who had been sitting by her, looked out into the Place Saint-Denis, which the hotel commanded. The lawn of the square was all ablaze with red and yellow clumps of flowers, the acacia trees were brightly green, the sun was soft and low. Tempted by the prospect, Paula went and put on her hat, and arousing her aunt, who was nodding in the next room, to request her to keep an ear on Charlotte's bedroom, Paula descended into the Rue de Noyon alone and entered the green enclosure. While she walked round, two or three little children in charge of a nurse trundled a large variegated ball along the grass, and it rolled to Paula's feet. She smiled at them, and endeavored to return it by a slight kick. The ball rose in the air, and passing over the back of a seat which stood under one of the trees, alighted in the lap of a gentleman hitherto screened by its boughs. The back and shoulders proved to be those of Distancy. He turned his head, jumped up, and was at her side in an instant, a nettled flush having meanwhile crossed Paula's face. I thought you had gone to the Ottoia promenade, apostrophe she said hastily. I am going to the cathedral, apostrophe obviously uttered lest it should seem that as he had seen him from the hotel windows, and entered the square for his company. Of course. There is nothing else to go to here even for roundheads. ... If you mean me by that, you are very much mistaken, ... said she testily. The Roundheads were your ancestors, and they knocked down my ancestors' castle, and broke the stained glass and statuary of the cathedral, ... said Destancy slyly. And now you go, not only to a cathedral, but to a service of the unreformed church in it. ... In a foreign country it is different from home, ... said Paul in extenuation. And you of all men, should not reproach me for tergiversation, when it has been brought about by my sympathies with ... with the troubles of the Destancies. ... Well, you know what I mean, ... she answered, with considerable anxiety not to be misunderstood. My liking for the old castle, and what it contains, and what it suggests. I declare I will not explain to you further. Why should I? I am not answerable to you. ... Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.